I don't know how many were outside and looked last night, but the full moon was out, big and bright. It's about a month exactly from when the feast started in October, so that was nice to see. The title of my message is Be Not Conformed. We're going to turn over to Psalm 119, verse 54. The psalm that goes tells you about God's law in just about every way you could possibly imagine, and probably a few that you couldn't imagine. Verse 54 of Psalm 119. Your statutes have long have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. Your statutes. We kept those statutes, didn't we, at the Feast of Tabernacles? We kept the appointed time that God said to be there in his law. In this world, it doesn't even have a clue that it's what the real meaning and plan of God is, but we do because we do keep God's holy days. But we know God has a plan for all mankind in the last great day when God's Spirit will cover the earth and his word will be open to all people. Part two of that, have been my songs. Wasn't music a big part of the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, our praising God? If you sing five songs for 8 days, that's at least 40 songs that we sang during the Feast of Tabernacles, plus all the special music and offering music. What a wonderful thing it is to sing and praise God. And in the house of my pilgrimage, each one of us is on our own pilgrimage, aren't we? This time when we're living in temporary dwellings, this physical body, and we're working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. When we keep the feast, do we ever wonder how ancient Israel kept the feast? How King David or King Solomon kept the feast? How about Christ and his apostles? I'm sure many scoffers would say that God's feasts were done away with by Jesus Christ. Why would they do that? What would be the purpose for them doing that? Well, we know it's so that they can keep the festivals that they want to keep, as Peter calls them, cunningly devised fables. And after the feast, there was one of those fables 1 week after, wasn't there? So my specific purpose today is be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God is renewing our minds, transforming them, transforming the way we think, changing our thoughts to his thoughts. So let's look at two of the apostles, Paul and Peter, who wrote a great deal of the New Testament, and we will see how both had a connection to the Feast of Tabernacles and also showed us how not to be conformed to this world. Let's turn over to Acts 18. Acts 18. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. This was right after Paul had been in Athens and he had told them about the unknown God on Mars Hill. Acts 18, 1 through 4. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus. Pontus was one of the areas that was represented at Acts 2. There were men from Pontus there. So was Aquila one of those? Or did he hear from one of those who had heard in Acts 2 about how the Holy Spirit had helped so that the people could understand in the language that whatever it was that they were listening to? Continuing, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them, that was Paul came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked For by occupation, they were tent makers. They were all tent or temporary dwelling makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Greeks. So at that time, no one had told Paul about the Sunday was the day to worship. He was still doing Sabbath, just like we do. So let's turn over now to Romans 12 and verse 1. So we see Paul was a tent maker by trade, very much in the theme of the Feast of Tabernacles and our temporary dwelling. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by studying God's word, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. I'll just point you to Romans 7:12, where it talks about God's law being holy and good. So why is it the people refuse to obey God's clearly defined instructions? Let's see what else Paul has to say in 2 Thessalonians 2. We'll read verses 5 to 12. 2 Thessalonians 2. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Here's Paul warning us of lawlessness. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed. And when the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Isn't that what we are watching for now, is the new religion to come onto this world, the beast's power? Verse 10, and with all unrighteous deception, it doesn't say righteous deception, it says unrighteous, among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Verse 11, and for this reason God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they may all be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And they want to throw God's law out, but they don't want to obey it. They want to condemn those who keep God's laws and his commandments, his clear instructions on what to do and how to keep the festivals, but they take pleasure in their own lawless festivals that are created by Satan the devil, who wants to deceive the whole world. Can we see why we don't want to be conformed to these things, why we don't want to do them, that they're bad, they're not good, things that are unacceptable to God, things that are contrary to the will of God? Idolatrous and blasphemous, praising the one, Satan, who created them, this world's holidays, for the deception and enslavement of the whole world and to bring it under his control. Let's move over to the Apostle Peter. Let's go to 2 Peter 1. And we'll start with verses 10 through 15. Verse 10, 2 Peter 1. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent It takes effort by all of us. We are required to do something. It isn't like this world's religion that says you just have to say you believe in Jesus and that's all you have to do. We have to actually put out effort to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, we need to be doers. You will never stumble. We'll talk about these things in a minute. Verse 11, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's where our eyes need to be focused on, the goal of the kingdom of God. For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it's right, as long as I am in this tent, temporary dwelling, his physical body. So here's Peter talking about physical bodies, temples, tents, to stir up you by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must again put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. In verse 16, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Yes, they saw Jesus die on the cross, didn't they? The Passover. They were there at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given. They didn't have to make up stories. What a difference between telling fables or believing the truth and being witnesses. This world's fables will lead us far away from God, away from the truth. So let's go back up to verse 2 in 2 Peter 1. Let's look at a few things there to keep us so that we do not become conformed to this world. In verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things pertain to life and godliness. So we're actually supposed to be godly, not wicked. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence. As we said before, diligence is required of us. In verse 10, we start with our faith. God, we believe in him. We believe that he's our creator, that he made us, that we're his children. That's the starting point. And to the faith, add to your faith virtue. What's virtue? Godliness, goodness, modesty, pure morality, excellence. To virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, knowing God's way, and you can only know God's way by diligently studying and learning from God's word. Verse 6, to knowledge, self-control, to be able to control all of our passions and lusts. To self-control, perseverance, that patience and steadfastness headed for the kingdom, never wavering and getting off the path. And doesn't a man who perseveres, doesn't he strengthen others and encourage others by his behavior? To perseverance, godliness. Godliness is one who shows respect and reverence towards God. I don't think those that are keeping this world's holidays are respecting or reverencing God in his holy way. To godliness, brotherly kindness. A deep care, a commitment to serve the brethren and to cherish them and treat them all like your brothers and sisters. And the brotherly kindness, love. Love, affection, goodwill, self-sacrifice, benevolence. I think that Mr. Shabby did a pretty good job of it during the Feast of Tabernacles. So in conclusion, God has given us these things in the New Testament that point us in the direction of his plan for us and eventually will include the whole world, every son and daughter he has ever created. He loves them all. We do not want to be conformed to Satan's evil and deceptive holidays. We don't want to worship Satan, but we want to keep ourselves separate, acceptable to the Father, and diligently seeking his will, and be a light in this world of ever-increasing darkness.